Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Wait, are you recording already? Because this is the story I want. What happened? What did you do, sir?
I might do
on camera right now and for our recording and listening audience.
So I went to the Randall Morris. It's the too hot to handle Randall Morris golf tournament, the former great tailback, you know, for the Hawks. Yeah. And, you know, it's a great tournament, great cause, for a lot of youth. And there was just the trophy standing there. Like, it was the winner's trophy. And everybody left and the trophy was just standing there. I was like, yo, did they leave that behind? And so, of course, I just took it and took a selfie with it. May or may not have put it on social, but yeah, just another day, another trophy.
Was that your caption?
Yeah, no, but we came in third, I think. And I'm pretty sure the two groups had cheated. So I'm not afraid to keep that trophy if I have to.
Wait a second. Oh my gosh, I have to reset. First of all, you're admitting to theft. You're also claiming cheating by another team. You're claiming like that there's nefarious activities at the golf tournament here. Like this story is too hot to handle, man. Call the Seattle Times.
I know. I'm going to have a word with Randall because it was outrageous.
Well, what? I mean, you won the last golf tournament you guys were in. What happened this time? Was Coach Tice not available anymore or what happened?
No, I do it. So my coach, he put me with some ringers, man. These guys were hitting 300 yard bombs.
Wow.
They didn't miss a fairway. And we were, 24 under or whatever it was. It was crazy, right? And then I go to this one and they're like, hey, you know, we're counting on you to make it happen. And I was like, whoa, bro, I'm not that guy. I'm here to have, you know, raise some money, have a couple drinks, high fives, you know, that's more my deal when I go to these things. So, because in the other two tournaments, yeah, we won two tournaments, the one with Tice and then came back. And what was the other one? Alonzo Mitz. He put me with a good group. So that's all I ask. Just put me with a good group, you know?
Yeah. It's not fun when you show up to the golf tournament and the other three people look at you like you're the stud. That's what happens to me. Not that they would think that or anything. It's just that they're like waiting for someone who knows golf finally to show up. And then I show up and I'm like, it's not me, fella. Yeah. And then I'm also going, oh, it's going to be a long day.
One tournament, and I'll let you know this. I forget which one it was that we did this year. We started off with four bogeys. Then I was like, fellas, I don't know if I've ever been in a scramble where we've had, you know, more than one bogey, never mind started with four straight.
Right.
So, and it was one of those days where it was like 100 degrees out for three straight days. So, of course, we're going to blame the heat. But, yeah, we didn't even finish the round. They were like, you know what? It's just kind of hot. It's too hot. Let's just call it after nine.
Get out of here.
And so I had to jump into like Locklear and somebody else's group, Sean Locklear and somebody else. They were like, They braved it, man. They're like, yo, we're going. We're at hole 12. There's only seven or six to go. They're like, we're going for it. And I was like, all right, I'm jumping in.
Man, yeah. The other guys were like, I'll see you at the 19th hole.
And we won that one. But unfortunately, I wasn't a real part of their team. So I didn't get to partake in the celebrations.
Dude, these golf tournaments sound insane.
they are.
I love it. Hey, you ready to do the show? Talk some Seahawks week one?
Oh, can't wait.
All right, hit the theme song.
Let's get this crowd going. Now, come on, get him up, get him up, get him up.
Hawks on three, one, two, three, four.
Lofa Tatupu is up in the mix.
Go Hawks.
I'm just about that action, boss.
He takes the snap. He's going to throw down the middle. What a catch.
It's intercepted by Lofa Tatupu.
Holy catfish.
Hey, that's great football now.
It's going to work now. Let's keep playing.
Who's got my back?
I got your back.
That's Lofa.
My player.
Triple plant. Thunder. All one. Ready. Play.
Russell looking.
Go Hawks.
Russell scrambling.
Go Hawks.
Pump faking.
Go Hawks.
Still looking. Now he spins out.
We got a fly, baby.
35-40. Down the far side.
sideline. He's still moving. He's going to go.
Yes. No.
20, 10. They do it again.
Touchdown.
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 Seahawks.
Seahawks.
It's the Seahawks podcast on the Believe Sports Network. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Seahawks super fan Brett Davern, and he is Seahawks legend Lofa Tatupu. Week one is over. We played the Indianapolis Colts in Indianapolis, and the Seahawks came away with a victory, destroying the Colts. It's overreaction day around here. There's a local Seattle sports radio show that does like overreaction day or whatever. Overreaction, Lofa. We're winning the Super Bowl, and Bobby Wagner and Russell Wilson are co-MVPs. Write it down.
I mean, that's not an overreaction. Not from what we saw.
Yeah, buddy.
We got lots to break down here, but it was incredible. Let's just start there.
If you guys got thoughts, hit us up, SeahawksPod@gmail.com. We'll read your emails on the air, or, you know, if they're too profane, we'll read them off the air and laugh. Either way, send us your emails, SeahawksPod@gmail.com. Before we really get into it here, let's take a second and give a shout out to our wonderful sponsor, one of our wonderful sponsors, betonline.ag. It's that time of year again. Eyes are turning towards football. Teams are back on the gridiron, and BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Make sure you use our promo code
Believe, B-L-E-A-V,
when you're betting on everything, because you get a welcome bonus when you use the promo code at betonline.ag. Super Bowl odds constantly being adjusted, of course, but the latest ones are out. The Kansas City Chiefs are 5-1 to win it all. Let's see where our Seahawks are. Let me see. Quickly scanning the list here. The Seahawks right now, currently as we're recording, 18-1 to win the Super Bowl. So get over to betonline.ag. Lay some wagers down. Use our promo code Believe. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet Online, your online sports book experts. Well, like I said, Lofa, I mean, hey, man, week one, Seahawks win 28-16. They did a lot better than my 12-8 prediction.
What was mine?
I think you said 24-21 or 21-17 or 24-17, something like that. So you were definitely a little bit closer. But hey, general thoughts on the game? I mean, they obliterated the Colts, man. I'm for all my nervousness going into the game, what was I worried about?
No, I hear you. I mean, everybody's worried, especially the, you know, opening the first week of the season on the road. We've traveled well in the past recently under Pete and John, but you still, you know, we didn't see any of our starters all preseason. And so there was reason for concern. And, but they put that to rest, and it was just one of the most complete performances as a team that I think we've ever seen in the early goings of a season.
Yeah, especially for week one. I mean, I was texting you. I was like, what am I going to complain about on the show?
Usually, there's some miscues, right? Whether it's penalties or other things that just keep the game too close. But that final score was not, you know, indicative of what went down. It was a thrashing of sorts.
Oh, yeah. The commentators even mentioned it in like the second half, like the Colts, they kind of, I don't know, their shoulders are kind of down. They look dejected. They're kind of walking around, no energy. I mean, and to be in their place with fans for the first time and over here and all that, I mean, their fans were going bananas on the Seahawks first drive. After that, it was like a library in there.
Well, I mean, you know, and we'll get into it, but that first drive did have me ready to text you, ready to say, yo, what the hell are we doing? Because they were running the ball at will, you know. Yeah. There was one penalty that got extended the drive. And I think without that, I think Jamal went off sides and then they converted a 3rd and 5.
Yeah, he's off by like a fraction of an inch and all that first sack of the year. Yeah.
Right. But other than that, I mean, that was, I just want to thank the Colts for stopping, just abandoning the run.
And thank you, Colts fans, for not having the stamina to yell for an entire football game.
Right. Were they tired? I think, you know, they should have got their practice going, right? Because I know it's going to be rocking over here at Lumen Field this week.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, let's get into some specifics here. Russell Wilson and offensive coordinator Shane Waldron are cooking. I mean, they're putting in some work. We stay away from cooking. Pete Carroll actually said the words cooking in his post-game press conference.
Did he?
Quickly said, I'm just kidding. I'm, you know, nobody.
He walked it back, huh?
Russ cooking thing. But Russell Wilson, 18 of 23 for 254 yards and four TDs. Yeah. Pretty efficient, man. And I think a perfect quarterback rating also.
Yeah, he was up there around 148 or 150. I think 153 something is the perfect. But he had two of those incompletions were throwaways. So they were smart plays. You know, it wasn't his fault. It was nothing there. Okay, let's get rid of the ball and not take a sack or try to do too much. It was impressive, man. He looked sharp.
Yeah. Well, was it more about Russell Wilson and the new Seahawks offense, or was it more about Indy just not covering anybody? Why was he able to it seemed like Russell was just able to do pretty much whatever he wanted to do.
Yeah. I mean, we saw some, you know, cool new plays, you know, actually handing off the fly sweep, you know, and, you know, making them think like, okay, it could be a fly sweep or it could be the zone run to Carson. So now when you have to like really break down and play those honest, you're going to get a lot of, you know, isolation or one-on-one plays where there's going to be one guy to make the tackle. And so I think that opens up a lot of the play action for Russ. And, but you know, he really made things happen too, especially on some of those throws. That first touchdown to Lockett.
His first completion of the game, by the way.
Yeah.
First completion of the game. I mean, hello, Seahawks fans. A beautiful – and just Tyler Lockett doing Tyler Lockett things.
No, I mean, I think the reason he's so underrated is because for a lot of other guys, they'd get celebrated for that catch. But for us, we're like, oh, that's just what Lockett – that's a routine catch. We've seen him do it in the back of the end zone against Arizona. You pull up the – I think that's Arizona.
That might have been the one, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in that game, he had four. He had two one-handed, you know, with Patrick Peterson draped all over him. And then that one across the end zone, the one in the back of the end zone against the Rams where he kept his toes in and fully extended his hips. It's just like – dude, people, there's not a lot of guys that can make those catches. Like even the best, the ones that get all the credit because they have all the yards and the receptions. But he looked over his left because that's where he felt like it was going to be. Russ threw it over the right because the safety was closing. He didn't even turn his head. He just looked back. And to locate the ball and catch it, not even bobble it. Most guys bobble it when they go to the ground. I mean, you can't say enough about this kid. And then
I was just going to say, like, I mean, for anyone out there, like, go just like try walking and just straight up in the air and then flipping your head around and catching something over your shoulder like that, let alone running and keeping in mind the back of the end zone.
Back of the end zone.
I mean, it's just an incredible play.
Yeah. And then he turned the burners on for the 65 or the 70 yard or whatever that was. That was incredible.
Yeah, man. Russell Wilson, it's the 11th time in his career that he's had four touchdowns and no interceptions. That's now an NFL record. He was tied with all the big guys, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers alike. But now Russell stands alone as having the most four touchdown games with no interceptions in the league. And then also Tyler Lockett, that 69-yard touchdown catch was the second longest of his career and his 15th touchdown over 40 yards. In his group. So, those two picking up where they left off.
If we want to, you know, nitpick, if we want to be like, it could have been better. The only other thing I saw, you know, if Russell hits, he just barely underthrew that wheel route that Lockett tried to come.
Yeah.
If he puts that out in front because Lockett was, you know, had to slow down for it, you know, that's three touchdowns. And wow, I mean, that was another 50 or 60 yarder for Lockett. I mean, it was. Yeah. So if you want to have something to really get upset about, I mean, I guess that's it.
Yeah, the one missed touchdown. Seahawks offense, man, this is the story, right? Right? I mean, a large part of the story, 7.2 yards per play. And like I said, not only Russell seeming like he was doing anything he wants, but new offensive coordinator Shane Waldron pretty much looking like he could call anything he wants. And I just have to ask you again, like, was this – how secure should Seahawks fans be in this like new offense, or was this just the Colts defense? Not like we said, they were kind of low energy second half. Like, how much is the new offense, and how much was it that the Colts were not great?
No, it's a combination of both. But that's a defense that's going to give people fits. They're with Buckner up front, Darius Leonard at linebacker. They have a lot of good players, and they've played people tough. So, I don't take anything away from our offense being able to do whatever they want. I feel like that was a formidable opponent, and so I think it really is a matter of us, not only Shane Waldron's offense and being able to call what he wants, but the execution was on a level that we've never seen before out of the Seahawks offense. Not until later in the season when we're rolling and getting comfortable, but impressive. I mean, then you go. Where are we talking next? Because Gerald, are we staying with the receivers and tight ends? Because
let us know what you think, you guys. Seahawkspod@gmail.com. How excited are you for this new offense, or do you think maybe the Colts just sort of like didn't have it on Sunday? Let us know. I was going to go to Chris Carson next, man. 91 yards on 16 carries. Just looked fast, looked strong, breaking tackles, catching the ball out of the backfield. We gave him the big contract, or gave him the deal in the offseason, and he looks great, right? How'd 32 look for you?
Oh, phenomenal. That's our guy back there. And I think the run game in particular, offensive line made it happen. Everybody would have averaged over 4 or 4.5 yards if Russell didn't take those last two time wasting sacks where we just slid, in the backfield. Russ ended up with 2.8 or 3 yards a carry. He would have had over 5 a carry if he didn't take those. But so, that was just a situational thing. But yeah, Carson looked amazing. Penny did, unfortunately.
He got hurt. That's my next topic. Because, buddy, what are we going to do about Rashad Penny? I feel for the guy so bad. Injuries, it can't be his fault or whatever, but Rashad Penny on the injury list again, says it can take a couple weeks. Pete Carroll says that a tight calf. What's going on, man?
You feel for the kid because every year he keeps coming in and they say, oh, this is the best he's ever looked. This is the fastest he's ever looked. Mm-hmm. And he did, he looked good. But at that point, I thought especially, and this is just me, putting on my, personnel or GM cap. I was thinking, you got 4 legitimate running backs with the way DJ Dallas showed out and Alex Collins and then Penny and Carson. When Baltimore, who we watched last night, lost all 3 of their starting running backs, I was worried that Collins was going to be moved. But I thought that was a chance where maybe Penny – could have been moved. Love the kid. Maybe a change of scenery would do better for him. Because you never know. It could happen to where it just mentally, you can't get past that hurdle too. It's just like, oh, it's going to happen again. And then it does. So
I feel bad for him too, because it's like we don't get to see him play all that often because he's injured so much. And when he's in there, he seems good. And then he doesn't play in the preseason. And as a Seahawks fan, we watch Alex Collins out there just quick and making moves and making people miss and running over people when he has to and catching the ball in the backfield. And then you look up on Sunday and he's inactive, but Rashad's active. And then all of a sudden he's got the tight calf and now he's out for a few weeks. So I just think, when are we going to just, put Collins in there or someone else and kind of have to move on? Because it's like this back and forth thing. It's just, I don't know, man. I feel bad for him, like I said, but.
Well, then, I hope they do give Collins, a good 8 to 10 carries. And they don't overwork Carson, because he hasn't shown to stay healthy for a full season either. As tough and as great as he is. It's always been 2 years ago, he was the one guy we were missing going in the playoffs. And it's just like, man, this is when we need him the most.
Yeah. I want to see Alex Collins activated, and I'm sure he will be for this next game against the Titans.
Oh, absolutely.
Moving on to the defensive side of the ball. Let's flip it. dude. Defensive line domination, dude. That game was amazing for the defensive line. 10 quarterback hits, 4 sacks, who knows how many pressures. It felt like they were in Wentz's face all the time. And they had another sack on a 2-point conversion, which I don't know if that counts for official sacks or not. But, I mean, they were just – they were all over the place. And I put them in my background here. But Daryl Taylor, man, just – looks great. They said he had the best camp out of anyone, and it looks like it.
Oh, yeah. He looks every bit the part of the athletic freak that we hoped he would be when we drafted him in the second round. But the whole D-line, I mean, Puna, I got a little scared when Puna went down because, you know, I don't ever see Puna stay on the ground that long. But, yeah, Puna, Monet, Dunlap, it's just – and then my guy, Rasheem, you know, yeah, who I said he's poised for a breakout year, looked great all preseason. And yeah, man, they dominated. There's no other way to put it.
Even the depth guys like a Benson Mayoa out there making
Benson
a lot.
Benson got one.
Tackles for losses and stuff. I mean, the defensive line was dominating the Colts offensive line. And I know I've been asking this question a lot, but I got to ask again, like, is it our defensive line crushing people or – was the Colts offensive line down a bit, missing Eric Fisher and things like that? Or, you know, I guess you got to just play the game that's in front of you, right?
No, yeah. Missing Fisher definitely hurt them. Nelson, for that injury that he's had, played great. I mean, that's a good offensive line. And, you know, so I just think our defensive line is that good. And we're just so deep.
Yeah.
When the next guy goes in, like I said, this is what in 2013, a lot of people don't remember that. Two future All-Pros, Cliff Averill and Michael Bennett, were not starters. Chris Clemons and Red Bryant were starting on that team. And so like, that's how crazy the depth was. And I think, you know, these guys, you know, they're not there yet to be named a Cliff Averill or Michael Bennett. But they're, you know, they're good. And they're young and they're fast and they're hungry, just like they were back in 13. So I think we're seeing something special built up front. And again – the only thing that kind of concerned me was when we came out, we were in that 5-2 look, which, you know, it's a lot of one-on-ones, and the Colts were having success pushing the line of scrimmage, and it was becoming hard for Bobby and Brooks, who played a phenomenal game, but to just find the gap, like, because there was really essentially with some guys head up, there's two gaps now that you got to play. You're hoping that your nose or your three takes one of those, but if they don't, and the line of scrimmage gets pushed back towards you, that's a cat and mouse game. Now, like, okay, which hole is he going to take? Because if you shoot it and you don't make it, I mean, that's up to the second level. That's up 10 yards quick. And luckily, we have two of the best safeties in Diggs and Jamal, but that's no easy task.
Yeah. Well, the linebackers, I mean, dude, Bobby Wagner,
yeah,
13 tackles. Jordan Brooks, 11 tackles. 11. Daryl Taylor, like we said, adding a huge sack there on, I think it was on the 2-point conversion his sack where he he just abused the offensive tackle there, just pushed him flat on his ass, frankly, and jumped over him and sacked Carson Wentz. It was like something out of a movie.
Well, that was what, you know, I knew he was fast. I knew he could bend the corner, but to run through a guy, like, I didn't know he had that kind of power.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't look like he has that kind of weight. He's not as big as Alton, you know, Robinson, or some of the other guys, or Sheen, you know. But he's so explosive that it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, he was great. The Colts, let's see, they went for it on 4-3 times. They were unsuccessful every single time. Speaking of those short yardage and conversions, you see that quarterback sneak by Russ?
I knew. I texted you because, I mean,
they're listening, dude. They're listening to us.
They definitely listen to our podcast because, I mean, for years we've been asking, hey, can you just get under center and run a QB sneak? And guess what? Lo and behold, one for one. They've tried one in Russ's career and they got it.
I love it. They're coming back towards some sort of balance with that. Speaking of balance.
Oh, see what balance. You did there.
Balance7.com. Everybody, you got to align your pHs and your alkalines and all that stuff and get your body balanced out. You know, too much acid one way or the other, not good. You got to get balanced out just like star athlete Lamar Odom did. That's why he's joined Balance7.com, and so have we. When you use our promo code,
Believe, BLEAV,
you get $10 off your first 32-ounce bottle at balance7.com. Again, that's balance7, Use the promo code BELIEVE at checkout, BLEAV. If it worked for Lamar and us, it can work for you too. Balance7.com. So concerns, the only real concerns I have, if there are any, is our cornerbacks. And I think that was the concern going into the season. You know, Carson Wentz did throw for 250 and two TDs, and one of those TDs was wide open against Trey Flowers, who is a big question mark in the mind of a lot of Seahawk fans. I mean, Trey Flowers, sometimes I love him and love everything he's done for us in his time, and I respect him and everything, but sometimes it looks like he couldn't cover my bed, man. What is going on?
I mean,
with Trey Flowers, and what are we going to do? Because we were signing all these cornerbacks, but a little
I honestly don't even know what's going on. And, you know, and I feel for Trey. I mean, it's not his fault.
It's not his fault?
It's not his fault. He was a safety his whole life. He's playing corner in the NFL. Like, you don't make a guy go play corner when he's been safety his whole life. So,
but there's they see something in him because they just keep bringing in people and he just keeps beating the guy.
He's big, strong, fast, athletic. But does he know how to play an island? I don't think so, because I haven't seen him anywhere near his guy half the time. And I feel bad saying that, you know, because it's tough duties being a corner, especially what he played safety at Oklahoma State or wherever he went. Like, he played safety his whole career and then come here and like, hey, you're going to play corner. It's like, yo, this, when you get to the best of the best, this is not where you just switch positions. Like,
no, I get it. But dude, you're a starting cornerback for, you know, an NFC West contending team. Like, you just expect him to be in the picture when the guy catches the ball, and Seahawk fans don't see him in that picture all that often. You know, this has been going on for years with him. So, I mean, what do you think the answer is? Sidney Jones or?
Well, yeah, I don't know why. Cause Sidney Jones played all through preseason, right? With Jacksonville or wherever he just came from. So why isn't he out there?
Yeah.
I wanted to know that.
Yeah. And DJ Reed too. I mean, playing off a little bit though. I don't know. I want to see our corners like really getting into it and getting physical.
Yeah. I'll tell you this though. That kid, Mike Strong, I think his name is, that receiver. He made some phenomenal catches. DJ Reed was all over him. And I thought it was either a pass breakup or maybe even pass interference. That's how tight the coverage was. And he still had great hands when he got the ball. There's another one right away. It was a low pass. So, Mike Strong, we're going to be hearing that name a lot in the future. He's only a rookie. I didn't even look up, you know, how he got to them, if he was a draft pick or not, but it was impressive with what he was doing.
Well, shout out though. I don't mean to be too hard on the DBs, because shout out to Quandre Diggs for that hit.
Oh, that he had a couple.
But that one though, he caught it wide open, and then you see Quandre coming, and I was like,
yeah, the deep over. Yeah.
Yeah. Lot of smoke on that one.
Yeah. He crushed him. But then there was another one when Bobby had the guy's legs wrapped up, and it was either Diggs had one coming down the alley, but then there was Bobby had the legs wrapped up on Taylor, and I mean, him or Jamal came over the top, and it was just, man, they were coming up hitting.
Yeah, they really were. Any other concerns? I mean, my only other concern would be noticing that the Colts ran for 3.8 per carry. You kind of talked about that. I mean, I don't know if it's a concern, but that was the only other stat that jumped out at me from the game.
Yeah, under four. I mean, you really want them under three, somewhere in the neighborhood of two and a half is but, you know, a lot of the damage was done on that first drive. And, you know, just, again, surprised that they went away from it and just put the ball in Wentz's hands that many times. Especially, he doesn't, you know, I know he looked good running Wentz when he's mobile, he's a good athlete. But, you know, my quarterback just had surgery 5 weeks ago, and I have a bunch of animals too deep on the D-line coming after him. I'm not making him drop back every time, you know. And so even the run was so efficient in the first drive or two that the big play action pass that Diggs had that hit one, it was big play action, and everybody jumped up. Brooks, Bobby, Jamal was damn near in the backfield. Like, that's how, you know, deceiving it was. And that's why that guy was wide open. So, I know, I think that's something this week when you got Derrick Henry. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get into that with our preview of the Titans a little bit later in the week, but that's why I kind of bring up the rushing number there against the Colts. Good.
That's the only thing that could be concerning.
Yeah, we got a big one coming up this week. Speaking of big ones, exciting news. Our podcast is partnering with PlayActionPools.com this season to bring interactive fun to the sport we love the most. You'll be able to get in on the action at PlayActionPools.com. It's a football pick'em challenge, which is open for everybody. So here's how it works. You sign up for our contest. So you go to PlayActionPools.com, and then you search for the Believe Football Pick'em. Okay, and you sign up for it, you play along, and if you win, you could win a pair of electric sunglasses or a pair of DC shoes. Those are awesome brands and cool gear, so you want that. Go to playactionpools.com, use our find our contest spelled BLEAV football pick 'em. There's no promo code or anything like that. You just go on over there and enter, and you could win those prizes. PlayActionPools.com, your new home for all of your office sports pools, because you can set one up for yourself over there too, or you can join ours. I was going to talk about the rest of the league, but honestly, we're running out of time on this show, so we'll save it for our preview of the Titans. Let's move to our Zone In segment, brought to you by Zone In CBD. ZoneInCBD.com, the best CBD in the business. It's Lofa's company, so you know it's the best. And you can sign up for a subscription. Yeah, check out some merch. Lofa's got the t-shirts on. But for all your CBD needs, it's ZoneInCBD.com. This one does have a promo code.
BLEAV.
You get 20% off of your first purchase, or no, off of all of your purchases.
All your purchase.
Yeah. At zoneincbd.com. Lofa, I want to give you a little bit of time here to talk about Sam Cunningham. I know, you know, family member of yours, right? Close family friend, I know. And he passed away at 71. I didn't really know much about him. I'm just going to admit my own ignorance. But in looking him up and after seeing your post, I mean, guy's an absolute legend, helped to integrate college football and all that. And I know you want to talk about him a little bit. So go ahead, man. Let's zone
in. Yeah, man. The picture, Sam Bam. You know, family friend, father figure, uncle, you know, brother, former Trojan. He's everything to me and my family. Despite, you know, all the legendary stuff he did on the field, I mean, it was how much he cared for people off the field that really impacted me. He was the only person I knew when I went out to Los Angeles, when I went out to Southern Cal. My dad and my mom gave me his number. And
did your dad play with him at USC or?
No, he was just, so Sam left in 73. They won the title in 72. Sam left in 73, got drafted by the Patriots first round. And my dad came in 74. They won the national championship and then left in 78, got drafted to the Patriots in the eighth round. So they played together for 5 years in New England till, I think, 82 when Sam Bam retired. And, Bam was the all-time, when he retired, all-time leading rusher for the Patriots in their Hall of Fame. Just made an impact and, you know, left an impression everywhere he went. And, when my dad passed, Sam was always there for me. I have, you know, the pictures I had up there, he was always there. The first game I ever played, he came down to Auburn and he gave the speech about when they played Bama back in the day and you know, how it changed the culture of football in the South.
Yeah.
And then the next picture I had was, we were at Oceanside. It was me, my dad and Sam and Uncle Jack, one of my dad's friends, and that's at the draft party when I got drafted. And so then the last picture I posted was the first game I coached down in LA, and he was there. So he was there for all my big moments, and even more importantly, he was there for all the dark and sad moments, you know, like I said, my dad passing, my career ending, he was there texting me, calling me. So it's just a man that meant a lot, not just to me, but to a lot of people. And so this one hurts. And, Bam, I love you. And another thing, he connected a bunch of me and my former teammates that I had lost touch with because, you know, as later, people have families and everything, and, you know.
Yeah, you and, get me. I get it.
Man, and he put us on a group text just telling me, he's like, hey, so-and-so, you know, needs a call, needs a text, needs to know that someone cares. And just, you know, we all need that. And I mean, that's just who Bam was. He was the glue everywhere he went. Everybody wanted to be him. They were attracted to him just because of his energy was so good. And it's a sad day, man.
Lost a real one for sure, man.
Oh, my God. One of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, just an absolute legend. So, thanks for sharing all that, man, really.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the time to say that.
Of course, absolutely. I'll let you listen. You got to be a real legend for me to let a USC Trojan onto here. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm just joking around. All right, let's wrap this thing up, okay? Let's do it.
We're breaking it down to Bam. Sam Bam on three.
Oh, hell yeah. All right, cool. Wait, hold on. That's a wrap for us, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Seahawks podcast this week. If you've got thoughts or emails to send, it's SeahawksPod@gmail.com. That's SeahawksPod@gmail.com. Lofa, break us down.
All right. Hands in the middle. Sam Bam, you're always going to be with me, man. You're always there for me, and you always will be. I love you. So we're going Sam Bam on three. One, two, three. Sam Bam. Sam Bam.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.